Well, a happy and blessed Sabbath, dear ones. Welcome to our main church service on this fourth day of July 2015. Here in America, it's Independence Day, but for the Christian, every day is a day to celebrate Christ freeing us from bondage and slavery to sin and the devil. And praise his holy name for doing so. Also, we extend our greetings and Sabbath blessings to those listening on the phone, to those listening to the recording, and those tuning in to WLMR Radio. And we appreciate and welcome you in fellowship together with us on this memorial of God's creationary power and the promise of his recreating us into his image. Our opening song is entitled, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." And you can find the lyrics to this hymn at lightministries.com/ID959.htm. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. Amen, dear ones. And a thousand tongues is not nearly enough to praise our God and to honor him for everything that he has done, is doing, and will continue to do until we walk through the pearly gates into eternity. Praise his name indeed. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Our dear merciful Heavenly Father, praise your holy name for making possible each one of our salvation. Thank you so much for not casting us away, but have set into operation every possible avenue to reach our hearts and to bring us back home. And thank you, Father, for not waiting until we've groveled at your feet before you've accepted us back. But you look with anxious desire on the horizon for the slightest sign of us returning. And when you see that we're on the way home, you come off the throne and run to meet us and embrace us and to welcome us back. We don't deserve your love, Father, but we thank you for it, and we accept it with grateful hearts. We desire to be your children and to manifest it by following your will, to represent you in character, to look up to thee, and become transformed into your image. Help us indeed to be children that look up to their parents and want to become just like them. Allow that innocent desire to be ours every moment of each day. And help us to avoid all the distractions and the traps to get us to look away from thee onto other things or other people. But help us to resist anything that would remove our sight from thee or would separate us from you or you from us. And we thank you for helping us in this. Father, I pray that your presence will continue to be with us. Please bless us with your presence here. Bring the atmosphere of heaven down to each one of us. We pray, dear Savior, that your presence will be here as well and bring the bright beams of your righteousness and truth to dispel all the darkness, especially within our hearts. And dear Spirit, we pray that your presence will be here as well to convict us of sin so that we will no longer be unaware of it, of righteousness so that we can see the path that we need to take away from the sin, and of judgment that each of us are judgment bound. And if we're not hid in the Savior with all our sins confessed and forsaken, then we will be lost. Please work within us a transformation and plant the law of God, the truth of Jesus, in our inmost beings, that these may become the guide of our thoughts, of our words, of our actions. And thank you so much for your long suffering with us and continuing to prick our hearts and to lead us into a different way when you see that we're being enticed to go away from God and His truth. Help us to discern your voice above all others, including our own, and help us to determine to follow your sweet voice and not our own. And thank you for being here. Dear Father, we also have some prayer requests and petitions to bring before thee. We pray that you will work upon hearts, arrange circumstances in such a way that the evangelistic efforts of our dear brother James and sister Lucy in Australia will be productive of great good in spreading the truth to all of those coming to that area. Protect them, give them wisdom and the words to use to reach the hearts of all the different types of characteristics that they're going to meet. And please shut the devil out from preventing the people from either being there or from going by their booth or from taking the literature or in losing the literature after they've taken it. And allow them to indeed come into the truth and embrace the Savior. We also pray, dear Father, that you'll be with the Mukinda family, especially with Sister Joy. Please protect her in the trip to the hospital. Please take her case in thy hands and work about thy perfect will. Father, we pray for healing completely and fully. But most of all, we pray that Sister Joy will rest in your love, that she will commit her life to thee and will accept whatever your will is. We also pray that you'll be with our dear brother Willington and his family in this time, and Father, work upon their hearts, give them comfort and peace. And we thank you so much for taking that situation and allowing your perfect will to occur. We also pray for our dear sister Osorio that is going through surgery, that you'll be with her, that you will heal her, that you will guide the surgeon's hands and allow thy perfect will to be done in her case. We pray that she is raised back up to life and health. But Father, most of all, help her to rest in your hands and accept whatever your will is for her best interest. And Father, we also lift up our family in the death of a dear loved one, especially be with those family members close and connected with our dear uncle. Please comfort them. Help them to realize how short life is and help them not to seek comfort in the world or the things of the world, but to instead seek comfort in the Savior and to rest in His love. For life is indeed short. And help us all to recognize that. And thank you so much for doing so. And Father, we pray that you'll be with all of the silent prayer requests and all the prayers and petitions that have been offered in this home church and by thy people around the world. We thank you for hearing and answering these according to thy will, and that you will have done so before this Sabbath time ends. And we claim desire of ages 212 for that precious promise. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for leading and guiding us into all truth. And thank you, dear Spirit, for opening our eyes to comprehend wondrous things out of the Word of God today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So happy Sabbath again, one and all. And we're now in part 6. Of our series, Becoming Righteous. And throughout this series, we've learned that after we have confessed and repented of all of our sins, that God freely forgives us, we then become justified and clothed in the righteousness of Christ by faith alone, and then we are accepted as being the sons and daughters of God, fully cleansed and perfect, as if we have never sinned at all. We've also seen through this series that we are given the grace and the strength, as well as the shining armor of God to use in standing and fighting the good fight of faith and fending off all the attacks of the devil. And that we are then to walk forward and upward in the newness of life in the process of sanctification and righteousness through faith and works. We've also seen that we are to walk after the Spirit and not after our old life in the flesh, not giving in to our habits of sin and the character defects that we've developed, but we're to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we learned last Sabbath that Christ even makes up for our deficiencies and defects of character with His righteousness as we do our best to obey the will of God. So then throughout this series, how much have we seen that God in Christ loves us and wants us to be saved and living with them for eternity? How much evidence have we seen? More than just a tremendous amount, but it's truly a stupendous amount of evidence. But dear ones, as amazing as this plan of our salvation is, and all that God in Christ have already provided for each one of us, with all that we have seen, it even goes beyond this. Both God and Christ have provided even more to help each one of us to be saved and not to be lost. And this is what we'll learn about today. For those that would like to follow along with the notes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1447.htm. So God and Christ have provided even more than what we've already seen in order that we can be saved. Now, how many of us can overcome by ourselves in our own strength and gain salvation? The answer is not a single one. Now, how many of us can overcome by ourselves in the strength and power of God and gain salvation? And again, the answer is not a single one of us. If you look at quote number one from Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So then, not a single one of us can overcome by ourselves. And God cannot overcome for us without our help. So then, this ability to overcome and gain salvation is a co-partnership. It is a combined union. It is a joint effort between God and you that will enable you and each one of us to overcome and gain salvation. So then we can't overcome by ourselves at all. It's impossible. We lack the strength to overcome the enemy who's stronger than us. But God, even though He's all-powerful, will not overcome for us without our help. So it's a combined effort. But let's think about this co-partnership for a moment. Since God has spent so much time, has sacrificed so much, and has put forth such efforts to provide you with justification and righteousness by faith. After He's done all this, then do you think that he would just abandon his now newly justified and righteous young child to battle all alone against sin and the devil? No way. He loves you too much. He's invested too much in you to just sit on the sidelines watching what takes place. He has to become involved. Also, after all the time and pain and sacrifice that Christ has endured to provide you and me with his precious robe of righteousness, then do you think that he would just abandon you and me to battle all alone against sin and the devil as well? And again, the answer is no way, not a chance. He also loves you and me too much and cannot sit on the sideline watching. He's invested too much in us. If you look at quote number 2 from Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So then both God the Father and our Lord God Jesus Christ are not sitting on the sidelines watching, but are actively working for our perfection and salvation. But if you think about it, after all that each of us have done to both God our Father and Jesus our Savior, after all the pain and the sorrow and the sadness that we've caused them, and yet they still love us enough to sacrifice so much in order to save us. How can this be? This is indeed a mystery. If you look at quote number 3, from Colossians 1, verses 26 to 29. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. A co-partnership. It is a mystery, dear ones, but a mystery that is marvelous. Now, we just read that God worketh in you to do his will. But just how is God able to be in you? And the answer is through Jesus Christ, who is the connecting link or the mediator between God and man, which is 1 Timothy 2:5. And we also read that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. But now just how is Jesus Christ in you? And the answer is through the Holy Spirit of truth, his representative. And if you look at quote number 4, from John 14, verses 10 to 20. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, including helping us to overcome all sin and character defects, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So then how does Christ come to us? It is through the Holy Spirit. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Only possible by the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:14, the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So God the Father works in us through his Son Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ works in us through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works in us through the truth and the Word of God. So we see that all three mighty gods and holy beings in the Godhead are not just sitting on the sidelines watching us battle all alone, but they are actively working in us, so that we all together can fight this battle against sin and the devil and gain the victory. In Review and Herald, May 2, 1912. The Godhead was stirred with pity for the race, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gave themselves to the working out of the plan of redemption. All three working out the plan of redemption in our lives. So then it's not just our Father and Jesus Christ that are working for our salvation, but the Holy Spirit is working as well. And as long as you continue to walk and advance forward in the armor of God, working to please him through faith and continue to hold on to and retain the righteousness that was given you by faith in the beginning, then how could you fall or fail to gain the victory? Three gods are working in you. So as long as you work in harmony with them, how could you possibly fail to gain the victory? That's why we're to be baptized in the name of all three of these mighty gods, so that each one would have our permission to help us all along this pathway to eternal life. They're not going to force themselves on us. We have to give them permission to dwell with us and to work within us. In Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So we are baptized in the name of all three of these mighty gods, and thus each one has our permission to help us and to work within us each step of the way on that straight and narrow path leading to eternal life. If we only give God permission because we only recognize Him as God, then we're lost. If we only give God the Father and Jesus Christ permission to work in our lives because we recognize that there's only two gods, then we're lost. Because if the Holy Spirit was not also a third God, then there's no way that God the Father and God the Son could dwell with us. And thus we would be lost. So without the Holy Spirit being in us, then we would not have either Jesus or our Heavenly Father working in us as well. And that is why the Holy Spirit is called another Comforter besides Christ. And amazingly, the Holy Spirit is also given to us as a free gift without cost from our Father. If you look at quote number 5 from Luke 11, verse 13. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And in Acts 2, verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, what kind of power do these gods, these three gods of the Godhead, have as they work within us? What kind of power do they have? They have divine, infinite power. So then, since we have this direct connection to their divine, infinite power working within us, then how many times can we gain the victory over sin and the devil? How many times? If you look at quote number 6 from 1 John 3, verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." So then how many times can we, through the divine infinite power of the Father and Jesus and the Spirit working within us, how many times can we gain the victory over sin and the devil? However many times we're tempted. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin," at any time. The only way you can commit sin is to no longer be born of God. So whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, continuing, "for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. So now, what represents this seed that remains in us and we cannot sin? If you look at quote number 7 from Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee, or the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, or her seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou, or thy seed, shall bruise his heel. So then who bruised the head of the serpent, or who bruised and was superior to Satan? It was Jesus Christ. And then who bruised the heel of Jesus, or was inferior to Christ? It was Satan. So then who represents the seed that is given to us when we are born again? If you look at quote number 8 from Galatians 3:16, thy seed which is Christ. So then, who is the seed that remains within us when we're born of God and thus prevents us from committing sin because we're born of God? This seed represents Jesus Christ. And as long as Christ is living within us and we're working in harmony with Him, then we will overcome every temptation together. Not separate from one another, but in union together. Working within us with our permission and help, we will not commit sin. Now, before we were born again, what was our spiritual clothing or garments like? What were we dressed in? If you look at quote number 9, in Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So then before we were born again, we're depicted in this verse as being clothed in filthy and sin-stained garments of unrighteousness. And when you look at the Hebrew word for filthy, you'll find that it is ed, E-D. And this word translates and means menstrual flux, soiling, filthy. And this was Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 5708. And the Hebrew word for rags is beged. And this word translates and means clothing, cloth, garment, or rag. And this was Strong's word number 899. And please bear with me here. So filthy rags in Isaiah 64 verse 6 literally means clothing or garments that have been soiled and made filthy by the menstrual flux of a woman's monthly cycle. And in Leviticus, it mentions that this menstrual issue of blood defiles and makes unclean everything that it comes in contact with. And you can find this in Leviticus 15, verses 19 to 27. So these filthy rags is a very descriptive picture of someone contaminated with sin, which means that any good deeds of righteousness which they might do would not be accepted by God because their filthy garments would have contaminated everything that they did. But now once we're born again, these filthy garments are removed from us. We are then cleansed and clothed in Christ's robe of pure righteousness. And the seed, or Jesus Christ, is now planted within our hearts. Now, when a woman becomes impregnated with seed, what happens to her menstrual cycle? It stops. And there is no more blood to defile her garments. So then in this born-again condition, we become, as it were, impregnated with the seed. Or we have Jesus Christ living within us. Or in other words, we are united with divinity. And what happens when humanity and divinity are combined together? We read in 1 John 3:9, quote number 10, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." He's united with divinity. He has access to infinite power. Power that's greater than sin. Any enticement, any urging or desire of the fallen nature that Satan capitalizes on. Divine power is greater than all. So, once your weak efforts to obey God combines with the divine infinite strength and grace of Christ in you, what happens? You will not sin, but you will do the will of God, because God is working within you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. That's why it's impossible if you're born of God to commit sin, because Christ is retained and living in your heart. You're united with divinity. And thus, you can overcome anything that is out of harmony with God's will. So then you can see that you could then do the works of righteousness that would be accepted and pleasing to God, because you're no longer clothed in those filthy rags. You're no longer living in sin and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, because now you're living in a born-again condition in union with the seed, with Christ. In 2 Peter 1, verses 1 to 4, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." With God's divine power within us, what happens? All things pertaining unto life and godliness becomes ours. So then everything pertaining unto death and unrighteousness is left behind. "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness," continuing, "through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, dear ones, how much does God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit want you to be saved? We've seen that all our confessed and forsaken sins are forgiven for free. You and the rest of God's followers are given the precious robe of Christ's righteousness as a gift. You are freely accepted and embraced by God as being His real sons and daughters. You are provided without cost all the grace and strength in Christ necessary to successfully fight against all sin and evil. You are also freely given all the armor necessary to successfully fend off all the attacks of the enemy. God prevents the devil from overwhelming you with too many attacks all at once so that you will not be overwhelmed and defeated. Christ even makes up for your deficiencies and defects of character with His righteousness as you do your best to deny your habits of sin and defects of the flesh and to obey the will of God. And as we just learned, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit do not abandon you to fight this warfare all alone, but they each work together in you, providing you with their divine infinite power so that you will no longer commit sin, but will instead do the will of God in all things. How much do they love you, dear ones? How much do they want you to be saved? And if you need even further proof of how anxious your Heavenly Father is that you become saved and not lost, He promises to hear and answer every one of your prayers to Him before you have even finished saying them. Especially those prayers when you're asking Him for help. Did you realize that? If you look at quote number 11 from Isaiah 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, before they pray to me, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, before they finish, I will hear. So how much does God and Christ and the Holy Spirit want you to be saved, dear listening soul? How much do they all love you and want you to be with them for eternity? It's more than just a tremendous amount. And it's more than just a stupendous amount. It is truly an infinite amount. And if you fully understood, if you truly realized and then appreciated all that all three gods of the Godhead have already provided you and are already personally doing in you through this glorious plan of salvation, just so you could be with them and together enjoy eternal life, if you truly understood and realized and appreciated this plan for your salvation, what would you be led to say and to do? In our last quote, number 12, from Psalm 71, verses 15 to 16, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. In Isaiah 33, verse 5, the Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And in Jeremiah 51, verse 10, the Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. So in knowing a little more about this glorious plan of your salvation, and knowing all that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are personally doing so that you can be saved and not lost, what did these verses say that you are to do? To show forth God's righteousness and his salvation all the day, and to go forth in the strength of the Lord God. But now, just how are you to go forth in the strength of the Lord? How is this accomplished? This is what we'll learn next time. But dear ones, praise God from whom all blessings flow for enabling us to have salvation and to overcome all sin. Because Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit are living within us, and their divine infinite power, combined with our weak efforts, gain the victory. Praise God indeed. And all because of love. Our closing song is entitled, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And the lyrics to the hymn can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID1920.htm. Please sing along with me. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It bids my trembling heart rejoice. It dries each rising tear. It tells me in a still small voice to trust and never fear. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. This name shall shed its fragrance still along this thorny road, shall sweetly smooth the rugged hill that leads me up to God. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. And there with all the blood-bought throng, from sin and sorrow free, I'll sing the new eternal song of Jesus' love for me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. And dear ones, if we have Jesus, then we have the Father. And if we have the Spirit, then we have both Jesus and the Father. And all three of them have loved us first. And it's only because of their great love for us that we have this plan of salvation. So if you'll sing with me the chorus and put the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit in the chorus, because it's for their love for us that we have salvation. Oh, how I love God the Father. Oh, how I love God the Son. Oh, how I love God the Spirit. Because they first loved me. Praise our Godhead indeed. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for closing prayer. Our dear precious Father, may thy name be praised, glorified, and exalted forever and ever for developing the plan of our salvation out of love for us, even before we were born. Dear Savior, praise your name forever and ever for the love that you've had for us even before we were born and being willing to carry out this plan of salvation and to make it possible for us to be redeemed. And dear Spirit, praise your name forever and ever for making this plan of salvation possible and to live within us by allowing our Father and Jesus to dwell with us and to walk with us and to work within us and to connect us with their divine infinite power to overcome all sin and not commit any more wickedness. Thank you, Godhead, for each one of your love for us. Please help us to appreciate this, to ponder and to think upon and to examine more of this glorious, marvelous, wonderful plan of our salvation. And help us to respond from grateful, appreciative hearts, loving you in return and desiring to be with you for eternity. But we'll never be united with our Godhead in eternity if we're not united with them now on this earth. So please help us to learn to be in union with thee, with all of you, before it's too late. Let us reject union with the devil and union with ourselves and with our sins and defects in character and everything else that's wicked. Let us cast it all away that we may win Christ. And thus win it all. And thank you so much for helping us to do this, to desire this, and then to live this union. And thus have the hope of glory if we're faithful to the end. Thank you, dear Godhead, for being here in our midst, and please continue to dwell with us as we enter into the after church service, and please continue to dwell with us throughout each day of this new week. And thank you so much for doing so. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So everything has been done that can be done by our three gods to make possible our salvation. And now the question is, how to do it? How to unite with them? How to overcome sin in their strength. And that's what we're going to learn next time. So are there any thoughts, any questions, any comments, anything that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
Hi, it's me again. Blessed Sabbath. Concerned about trusting in the Lord to change us. I wanted to mention something. We're given the power of our, we have a choice to make. And the days that we're living in is the days of decision. And one of the things while studying with Christian family one time, we were reading the Gethsemane and talking about what happened when Judas betrayed Christ. The thing is that in the Bible it says, by beholding we become changed. And all those disciples had... Oh, can you hear me now? Okay, good. So that we were reading the we were while studying with Christian family, we were using the whole time.
said my hearts were hardened, where they didn't want to wash their own brethren's feet, because they had all of that pride and jealousy in their heart. And the thing is that what really got me was Judas during the communion and the breaking of the bread. He, in his heart, was so concentrated on what he had in his mind to do, was that the Lord was there with him, talked with them, he saw the things that the Lord did, but it didn't do to his heart what it was supposed to do. And even though the Lord showed him, told him that he knew what he was going to do, he who dipped his hands with me is the one who's going to betray me. What happened is that in seeing how he had a set mind to do, I told my mom, I was like, those who know the gospel and have the word of God, more is required of them. And if Christ, who was before Judas, and talked with him, and he still chose to go the other way. No, Christ was before him. We had a study about this. His heart kicked against the pricks. Then how can we, as brethren, try to change the hearts of the other? All we can do is pray and wait and see if the Lord would, see what the Holy Spirit can do to change the hearts. This man's heart is hardened. And pride is so bad that it blinds the person with the pride. And they don't even know that they're falling. And they don't even know that they're going against God. And they don't even realize what they're doing. Because all they have in their mind is self. Self is what got Lucifer kicked out. Self is what got a lot of people lost. Self is what hindered a lot of people from asking for forgiveness and making right the wrongs that they did. You can't force anyone. That's just what it is that I wanted to say. Human heart is so rock hard, solid, that after a while you just have to trust in the Lord that He would change it. Because we can't change ourselves. We need God to do it. We need the Word of God to soften the heart. We need to pray to have the Lord to soften our hearts. Because so many people are pointing this person and that, and the situation is nothing like that. Something is wrong in their own hearts to have them doing that. We need to be as Christ and work together for good. And that's what I want to share.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And you're right, it comes down to a choice. Judas could have given in to the prickings of the Spirit upon his heart to give up avarice and pride and follow the example of Christ. But he made a choice not to. And there wasn't anything that even Christ could do, who was God, to change Judas's heart once he made that choice, because God does not force himself on us. And prayer was about the only thing left. But Judas wouldn't allow even intercessory prayer to change his decision. I pray that none of us will go that far in turning our backs on all that God and Christ and the Spirit have done and are doing for our salvation and declare that we love something more. I pray that not a single one of us will do that, but that we will instead appreciate to such an extent of following out of love and gratefulness the will of our God, for all that he has done for us. So thank you, dear sister. And there's been a request for the hymn on Christ, "The Solid Rock I Stand." And I'll let someone else set the tone so it won't be too high or too low.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Oh, holy lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to veil his face, I think this is a different wording. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and storming gale, my anchor's hold within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His hope is covenant and blood. Support me in the welling flood. When all around my soul gives way, he's then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm just going to do the first verse because the words will change. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And since we're dealing on the love of God, and our need to love him back, I'd like to sing this song for you. This is called "Will You Love the Lord?" I love the Lord and he also loves me. We are as one in sweet unity. I was frightfully lost, but my Lord lovingly found me at an infinite cost, and now we're both very happy. Will you, dear soul, choose to love the Lord? He will embrace you as his one adored. You will also experience this blessed oneness. If you remain yoked to the Lord, you'll both be filled with such happiness. Now you love the Lord, and He also loves you. You are as one, and this sweet union is true. Together you are so very happy, and this will continue throughout all eternity. So very happy through all eternity.
There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we shall see it afar. For the Father was over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by.
By and by
we shall meet on the beautiful shore
in the sweet
by and by. On that beautiful shore, we shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious song of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessed rest.
In the sweet by and by,
by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
In the sweet
by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessing that follow our days.
In the sweet
by and by,
by and by,
we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
In the sweet,
by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be season refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valley, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy draws from the south falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant us an hour refreshing, come on and honor thy word. Showers of blessing,
showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now unto God we are confessing. Now unto Jesus we call. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling. But for the showers we plead.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And thank you for those wonderful, wonderful singing of the gospel hymns. And praise God indeed, and thank you, Jesus indeed. Are there any other songs, any other requests, any other comments or thoughts? Please feel free to bring them forth, dear ones, before we close.
I need the prayers of those I love, while traveling all life's rugged ways, that I may true and faithful be, and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me on each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me open wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, keep our Father's glorious grace. I need the prayers of those I love, while traveling all life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be, and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempest soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
Amen. And thank you so much for your prayers, and our prayers are with you all as well. Dear ones, may God bless you. May He continue to lead and guide you upward through His Spirit. May He continue to work in you according to His good will and pleasure, and to indeed unite with you in overcoming all sin to gain the victory. May you truly be able to climb ever higher, one step at a time, up the straight and narrow path, and be that much more advanced by the time we meet together again next Sabbath. This is my prayer, dear ones, And thank you so much for your prayers for me and mine as well. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:1-3. And what love that is, dear ones. Love him in return. So may God bless, dear ones, and keep looking up.